إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my dear brothers, I want to remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this ummah, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are the best of people and you have been sent for the benefit of people. And you enjoin good, you order good, and you prohibit evil. And you believe in Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the famous hadith which all of us know, he said, if you see something evil, stop it with your hand. And if you cannot do that, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, if you are unable to do that, if you do not have the strength to do that, speak out against it. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ, and if you still do not have that strength also to speak out against it, he said, consider it a hateful thing in your heart, hate it, and that last part of neither stopping it with your hand nor speaking against it, but only hating it in the heart, he said, this is a sign of the weakness of your iman. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us two things to do. Either speak out against it, either stop it with your hand, or speak against it. Hatred in the heart is a sign of weakness of faith. That is not a third option. It's not a third option. It's a sign of weakness of faith. So if we are in that situation where we only hate it in our heart, then we have to correct our own iman. Now I mentioned the ayat of Al Imran, which all of us are familiar with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world in order to set a standard. Allah did not send us to follow the standards of everyone, every jahil who is on the street. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Makkah, there was jahiliya. There were people who were singing and dancing. There were people who were making tawaf of the Kaaba naked. There were people who were engaging in prostitution legally. There were people who were stealing and who were grabbing other people's goods and not paying them for it. There were people who were oppressing. There were people who used to beat their slaves. There were people who treated women like commodities and bought and sold them. There were people who killed their girl children. All of these things were there. All of these. It's the entire list and maybe more. Wallahala. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he do? Did he claim that, you know, what to do? After all, this is the world and I am only a part of the world. So therefore, did he say all this? Did any Nabi ever say all this? Anbiya came to stand out, even if they were the only person standing out. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his message, how many people were with him? Nobody. One person. Himself. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent supporters. The same story for all the Anbiya. There is no Nabi who came who was not denied. But the Anbiya did not give up their mission because they didn't get support. The Anbiya did not stand there and claim, well, after all, this is the world. What can we do? We are a part of the world. I remind myself and you that we are a part of the world. And to stand out is also being part of the world. We are not saying go on the moon and stand out. In the same world, Allah sent us to stand out in the world and to create a standard. I'll give you a very simple example of what happens when you create a standard. The British came and ruled this country for 200 years, give or take a few, right? In 200 years, the British did not leave their dress. They used to wear a pant and a shirt, and they would wear a coat and a jacket and a tie, right? The dress which was highly unsuitable to this climate, a dress which was our clothes, the Indian way of dressing of the elite, of the rulers, was far superior. Our clothes were much more beautiful. They were much more gracious. They were much more graceful, right? A pant and a shirt looks like junk. But the British didn't wear turbans. They didn't wear mishlas, they didn't wear sherwanis, they didn't wear shayas, they didn't wear any of that stuff. They continued with their pant and shirt. Our dress, any country, the local clothing will be more comfortable, will be more conducive to the environment, but they did not change that. They continued with their dress, which was, as I said, it was highly uncomfortable, it was highly unsuitable to the climate. There are wonderful pencil drawings and etchings and paintings of British civil servants, the district collector, for example, sitting in his camp office in a village in the boondocks, somewhere in UP. He is sitting for dinner, and there is this painting. This man is sitting, he is in the middle of nowhere, right? There is his tent, and there is his bearer who has made his dinner, and there is this picture of this Englishman sitting at a camp table, and that table is properly set with cutlery and crockery. And this British civil servant, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the jungle, he is sitting there with a closed collar coat, and he is sitting there with a tie and a jacket to eat dinner. Now, if he sits there in a lungi, he will be far happier, he will be far more comfortable. There is no one watching it. The Queen of England or the King of England is not standing there. The Viceroy of the King is not coming. Nothing. He is living to his standard, even if he has only the mice and the birds to watch it. What was the result of this? The result of this was that the British, without enforcing it, without passing a law, without prosecuting anybody, they converted 1 billion Indians to wearing pants and shirts. They not only converted us in terms of our clothing, but today I guarantee you, if you go for a job interview to an Indian company owned by Indians, run by Indians, and the manager interviewing you is an Indian, if you go there wearing a dhoti and kurta, if you go there wearing a sherwani, which is our national dress, I will guarantee you, you will not get a job. So the change was not only in the clothes, the change was also in the mind. Why? Because they refused to give up their standard. No matter how ridiculous that standard may have seemed, no matter how unsuitable to the times it might have been, no matter how uncomfortable it might have been for them themselves to live by the standard, they refused to leave their standard. I will give you $1 million if you can find me an Englishman in a dhoti and kurta. I'll give you $1 million if you can find me an Englishman in a sherwani. A sherwani is a far more graceful, way of dressing than pants and shirts. They put us in a situation where you have to go to your mufti and ask, is my salah valid in a pant and shirt? Who told you to put yourself in this situation where you have to go and ask for a fatwa about your own prayer? But we did it because people stuck to the standard. Today it's a shame. It's an absolute crying shame that we claim to be ulama, we claim to be shuyukh, and then we have conferences in which we have women screaming up and down and jumping up and down, and you are talking about how beautiful Muslim women are. As a sheikh, you are standing there and saying that, and women are screaming up and jumping up and down. And when somebody objects to that, you say, well, you see, after all, this is the world today. You see, after all, we are part of the world. Who told you to join that world? Did Allah send you to join that world? Or did Allah tell you to stand up and say, this is not Islam? This is not Islam. Which one? This is what they teach in the Jamiat in the Madaris? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu in Jerusalem, there was a banquet after the opening of Jerusalem, and there was a big banquet, and they were sitting and eating, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was eating, and some food fell from his hand onto the sufra, onto the dastarkhan, and he picked it up and he ate it. And Abu Ubaidah was sitting next to him, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, one of the Jalil al-Qadr of the Sahaba, one of the people who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved, he was sitting next to him. He nudged him and he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't do that, it doesn't look nice, it's not the manners of these people. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu hit him on the chest and he said, the only reason I don't do more is because I know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved you. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us izzat because of this deen. He gave us izzat because of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, the day you leave it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you zail before the world. He said, Allah gave us izzat, and that is why today Allah opened this city for us. Allah gave us rule over these people. And you want me to give that up? You want me to give up the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to please these people? But today we only tell these stories. We only tell these stories. And then when the time comes for us, we make Islam into a business. We make money out of Islam. And therefore, we have to stand there and allow all kinds of haram. And then we forget all the hadith, we forget all the Quran. And we allow the haram because, and if we don't allow the haram, it doesn't fill our belly. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. I warn myself, I warn you, never give in to this argument of jahiliyyah. Allah sent us to remove jahiliyyah. He didn't send us to join the jahiliyyah. Nobody on the face of the planet can force you to do anything. You can walk away. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hate the thing in your heart. Hate means what? Join them. Hate means go away. Minimum you can do is go away. If you can't stop with your hand, you can't speak against it, you are so poor, you are so weak, and you are so such a coward, then walk away. Who stops you from walking away? Are you being dragged in chains to the place? I warn myself and I warn you, do not fall into this trap. Do not support these people, don't go to these conventions, don't do these things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you and them responsible. Allah sent us to guide people, He didn't send us to misguide people, He didn't send us to guide people to jahiliyyah, He sent us to guide people to Islam. Let us be very, very clear in our minds. Make absolutely no mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to set a standard. He did not send us to fall into the trap of other people and make and compromise our standard and sell our souls and sell our taqwa and sell our Islam in order to make money or in order to get popularity. If the deen is being compromised, stop it with your hand. And if you cannot stop it with your hand, speak against it. And if you cannot speak against it, do not participate. This is not my saying. This is the saying of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have respect for him, follow him. If you don't have respect for him, I have nothing to say to you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.